Attacking quality shone throughout Europe as the knockout phase playoffs reached their conclusion. PSV, trailing 2-1 from their first leg against Juventus, turned it around in Eindhoven, eventually winning in extra time. Real Madrid did what they do best, a statement 3-1 win at the Bernabeu to confirm Manchester City's exit. Paris Saint-Germain ended Brest's fairy tale run in this season's competition with a thumping victory in the French capital, and a goalless draw was enough for Dortmund to secure their progression. We'll review all the drama next from the UEFA Champions League. Welcome along, I'm Rob Daly, and the noise that you can likely hear bubbling in the background are the celebrations in Eindhoven, because you join us moments after the full-time whistle, where PSV have turned it around against Juventus in extra time to reach the round of 16. Luke de Jong, Noah Lang, Ivan Perisic all celebrating as they go round their lap of honour, and my word, they deserve it. European football expert Kevin Hatchard.
And this is what the UEFA Champions League is all about, these great iconic nights that fans who were there will remember forever. These players writing their names into the club's history, and they deserved it, I think, over the two legs. I thought they really hung in there in the first leg, only lost 2-1, and they found a way to turn the tie around. Firstly in normal time and then in extra time, and they showed they have that experience with guys like Perisic and Luke de Jong, but they have that youthful, you know, that swagger with guys like Bakayoko and Lang. So it's really nice balance.
The scores elsewhere from the knockout phase playoff second legs as the entire round concluded tonight. You can hear the PSV players celebrating with their supporters down one end of this iconic stadium. Real Madrid got the job done against Manchester City. We'll focus on that a little bit later. 3-1 winners on the night, 6-3 on aggregate. Paris Saint-Germain, what a win for them against fellow Liga opposition. They beat Brest by 7-0, 10-0 on aggregate. Dortmund Sporting finished goalless in Germany, 3-0 on aggregate, enough to see Niko Kovac's side into the round of 16. But we'll start in Eindhoven, where remember PSV were trailing 2-1 heading into the second leg. It's a game that burst into life in the second half when Ivan Perisic scored a wonderful goal into the bottom corner after a perfect crossfield pass from Noah Lang. That drew them a level on aggregate. Juventus retook the lead on aggregate with a long-range effort through Timothy Weah before Ismaili Sadbari took the game into extra time. And here's what happened next. Into the penalty area, brought down by Bakayoko. Juve let it bounce, and it pops around, and it's in! PSV Eindhoven through Ryan Flamengo! Lead by 3-1! The aggregate lead is theirs too! Early into extra time! What a moment in Eindhoven! PSV 3, Juventus 1, 4-3 on aggregate. And that is how it would finish. I must confess, I didn't expect to be on commentary duty tonight. That kind of was sprung upon us, Kev, a little bit in extra time with PSV going the distance. But you wouldn't begrudge them the win tonight and going through that. I mean, they were superb in those extra 30 minutes.
Yeah, and I think they really showed their quality. I mean, you talked about that goal from Perisic. He scored a fantastic goal in each leg. You know, the goal that he scored in Turin was outstanding. And even though he's well into his mid-30s, all of that technique, all of that quality, you know, he's played for some enormous clubs. He really has. And he not only scored the first goal for PSV, it was his run down the right of the area that actually led to Saibari's goal. And it was De Jong, fittingly, who was involved as well, causing chaos, as he always does, in the penalty area. And that, I think, showcases that nice blend that PSV have, because they have De Jong, veteran striker, holds the ball up brilliantly, leads from the front. They have Perisic, all of that technique, all of that quality, all of that desire to keep playing, actually, because he's had some injury problems as well, and he's fought through those. And then you have Noah Lang, perfect pass for the first goal. And then for the goal that ultimately gets them through, Bakayoko, who, you know, we know about his flair, we know about his quality, but it was his composure in the build-up to what was the key goal, because it was a set piece that was played onto his chest. Would have been really easy to snatch at it, go for goal, just try and work the goalkeeper. But he was smarter than that. And he moved out to the outside, just fizzed it across the face of goal. That panicked Gatti into doing something. Gatti had to throw his boots in it. That made the ball come off Di Gregorio, the goalkeeper, and there's Ryan Flamingo to score. So young players played their part, veterans played their part, and the coach did as well, because Peter Bosch, you know, he's been determined to play this kind of football for years. He's had clubs that it hasn't worked out at in Germany, in France, but in the Netherlands, in his native Netherlands, it's worked out for him. He got Ajax to a European final. He's got PSV now to the last 16 in this competition, won the Eredivisie, so you have to give him credit too.
Noah Lang, by the way, officially the player of the match. It wasn't just his pass for that Perisic goal, but the brilliant run and his relentless running throughout. Perisic, by the way, aged 36 years and 17 days, PSV's oldest ever player to score in successive knockout games in the Champions League. I think that's for all teams. A brilliant achievement for Ivan Perisic, who had that horrible injury last season, let's not forget, while still a Tottenham Hotspur player. Juve did come close. Let's not forget that chance, Kev, right before half-time in extra time.
Yeah, and it was a great cross from Mbangula, who I really, really like as a young player. Brilliant cut infield on his right foot. Crosses in. Vlahovic is there at the far post. The ball cannons off the upright. But there was another chance that was, I think, just as good, actually. Kefren Turam, brilliant driving run from midfield, what he's famed for. Gets himself into a really good scoring position inside left channel of the penalty area and just gets right underneath it. He'd done the hard part, and as soon as he blazed it over, you could see the horror on his face, because he knew he missed a golden opportunity to get Juve back into the tie. And they're the fine margins, they're those tiny moments that make all the difference, and that's why knockout football in the UEFA Champions League is always so captivating.
And a great week for Dutch football, Kev.
Absolutely. I mean, Feyenoord's effort on Tuesday was remarkable. I mean, I think it was the youngest team they've ever played in either the European Cup or the Champions League. Average age 23, and they managed to dig out that success away to Milan. Incredible effort.
Brilliant work from PSV. Reminder, 4-3 winners over Juve on aggregate. Next, let's go to the Bernabeu. A reminder, by the way, PSV will play either Arsenal or Inter. Will they knock out another Italian team? We're going to get to the draw later in the show, so don't worry about that. But next to the Bernabeu and that clash between the previous two winners of this competition, Real Madrid led 3-2 after the first leg. And here's what happened in the second. Mike Shule on commentary alongside Kevin Hatchard.
The long ball down centre field is going to find Kylian Mbappe, who lobs it over the goalkeeper. And within 4 minutes of the start, Real Madrid have extended their aggregate lead. It's a huge blow to Manchester City. Vinicius Junior back in it goes. Rodrigo, hesitation on the part of Kusunov. Mbappe, it's another goal for the Frenchman.
Scintillating football of the highest calibre.
They lead 2-0 on the night. 5-2 on aggregate. Just on the edge of the area, left-footed shot low. It is the hat-trick goal from Kylian Mbappe. And that surely now puts this game to rest. Real Madrid 3, Manchester City 0 on the night. All three goals scored by Kylian Mbappe. They lead 6-2 on aggregate.
And he showed exactly why he's one of the world's best players, because he can do something as magical as that in the blink of an eye.
Might be his last chance to get on the score sheet. Right footed. Oh, it's a really good free kick, which hits the crossbar and is followed up by Nico Gonzalez. Manchester City get their consolation goal, and it's scored by a former Barcelona player, two of the most successful coaches in European, if not world, football. Bring an end to this contest. 3-1 on the night, 6-2 on aggregate. Real Madrid are going in to the UEFA Champions League round of 16.
Mike joins Kevin, myself now as well, and they thoroughly deserved it, Mike.
Absolutely, yeah. From start to finish, really. And I think it was all, the tone was set when Mbappe scored that goal after only 4 minutes. We anticipated, or I certainly anticipated, something a bit more blood and thunder from Manchester City, getting in there, maybe getting an early goal themselves, but it just didn't materialise, and I think they were put on the back foot straight away. They also lost John Stones.
Yeah.
About 4 minutes later, I don't know what he did, but it was a bit of a freakish injury. Wasn't really much of a challenge. He went off, so they're already having problems there. Ake came on, obviously did a good job, he can play in that position, but they never recovered. And when Mbappe got that second goal, which was a fantastic team goal, and the contest was pretty much over.
The first goal was the hammer, because it came so early. They'd had a couple of minutes when they were in possession, City, and you thought, OK, this is the way to do it, because you have to dictate, you have to try and control the tempo and then pick your way through. And then Raul Asensio, who has been phenomenal since coming in, young player who's been given his opportunity because Alaba's been injured, others have been injured, inside right channel in his own half, looks up, turns into Toni Kroos just for a moment, plays this wonderful inch-perfect delivery right into the path of Mbappe. Mbappe's made his run in between Stones and Diaz, so he's off. They can't catch him. Diaz is panicking because he's thinking, I've got to get to this ball. Tries to head it, misses it. And then Mbappe, once it's bounced, has a little look at the goalkeeper, sees he's out of position, just lifts it beautifully over him. From that moment, Real just played the game on their terms, at their pace, and showed their quality.
Let's hear from Jude Bellingham on that. He felt Madrid found their highest level over both legs.
Yeah, I think we played some of our best stuff. I think winning away really helped us to come here and be a bit more comfortable from the start. I think having that goal up, as long as we didn't concede the first goal, and I think when the first goal came pretty early, we were really relaxed and really calm, and then we played some really good stuff. We've got obviously a very talented squad. I think it's the things, the minor details that sometimes we were a bit too relaxed on, and tonight, and I think the other night in Manchester, that's where we nailed it down really well, and a really good all-round team performance.
Let's hear from his head coach next, Carlo Ancelotti, pleased to be finally getting the performances from his exceptional talent at his disposal.
Really happy, because I think we played really well in all the aspects, defensively, offensively. We were good without the ball, compact, good with the ball. Nothing new with the ball.
Yes.
The surprise is that we were good without the ball. We work really well. But slowly, it takes time to put all the pieces together. It seems that now we have a really good idea how to play, and of course, we have to continue and keep going.
Of course, didn't finish in that top eight. Had to go via this knockout playoff tie, which is almost unbelievable, seeing the level that you were getting to this in commentary, Mike. Kylian Mbappe, by the way, quirky one here, the only player in the history of the Champions League to have scored a hat-trick at the Bernabeu and the Camp Nou. He did it for Paris Saint-Germain against Barca, and tonight he scored one for Real Madrid. There was all this talk about how does he fit into this attack, Mike, at the start of the season, given that Madrid were winners of the Champions League with Bellingham, Vinicius and Rodrigo. But they found a way. They found a way to make it work.
Yeah, and he's answered the question emphatically in the last few games. I mean, his form of late has been amazing. I think they said 14 goals in his last 11 appearances across all competitions. That's 7 in the UEFA Champions League as well. Yeah, and I mean, and what you've got to think of as well, can you think of another chance he had tonight that he squandered? He didn't.
He was ruthless.
He was clinical.
Yeah.
It was lethal. Completely efficient with his finishing. Very much Mbappe at his peak, like when he was playing in the World Cup final. I just think all round, Bellingham said it there, and then Ancelotti made a real point of it. They were really good without the ball tonight. They were good in the first leg without the ball, and they were equally as good tonight without the ball as well. They played very narrow when they were without the ball, and City just didn't really have anywhere to go. They had so few spaces to exploit, and that's down to the fact that Real Madrid stuck to the plan, and Ancelotti must be so happy tonight with the way his team played.
Privately and publicly, Ancelotti has been drilling this message into the players all season. You have to do the work without the ball. You can't just play this wonderful five-a-side-esque football in attack and not do the basics.
Kind of joked about it there, didn't he, a little bit? Yeah,
yeah, but the underlying message there is, you see, when you do the work defensively, you see how well. This is it. And you know, he's so experienced. He's such a winner. But I can't recall who said it, but one of the players said recently they don't remember him going as crazy as often in the dressing room as he has this season. Because there have been performances where they've dropped points in La Liga, and he's come out afterwards and he said, look, we're just not compact enough. We're not doing the things we need to do without the ball. I thought, over the two legs against City, and I know City have their problems, but I thought that was as good as it gets in terms of that group of players being compact and being really good defensively.
Those were trophy-winning performances, both of those.
Yeah.
Your first leg and the second leg.
And you're not going to get to Arsenal levels without the ball, because they for me are the best defensive team in the world, actually, in terms of how they set up Arsenal. You're not going to get some of those players to do that, but that's fine. You just get them to this bit, and that's okay. And then once you've got that structure, it helped Tchouameni being in midfield. I thought he was outstanding. Ceballos really stepped up. That back four was protected really well. Once you build the platform and the stage is there, then the actors come in and do their Hamlet, and then you're away. So that's what you need. You need to build the stage first, then the stars can shine.
Kylian Mbappe, by the way, how about this? 26 years old, 61 days. He's now been involved in 500 goals across all competitions, club and country. He scored 358 times.
Is that
the
all?
Age of 20 and 142 assists, extraordinary. Look, let's switch things up to City and get the thoughts of Pep Guardiola.
It's a fantastic team, so just congratulate them. They deserve to go through. We didn't deserve. We didn't make a good. It's the first year we didn't make a good Champions League season, and accept it and fight for next season to be here again.
Yeah, they still have the FA Cup to play for, of course, in England, but out of the running, really, in the Premier League title race and the Champions League now. But there have been glimmers. I think we look at the goal late in the game, Mike, and the two players involved in that for Manchester City to show that it looks like they've started a bit of a rebuild already.
Yeah, and Marmoush showed it at the weekend, didn't he? Scoring a hat-trick against Newcastle. Encouraging when you've got Marmoush coming in. Clearly, they missed Haaland tonight. I don't know how much difference that would have made had he played.
When Spain won the European Championship, and you looked at how good Rodri was, and I know he got injured in the final anyway, and Zubimendi came in, it was brilliant anyway. But it did make you think, who's the one guy Manchester City probably couldn't afford to lose? Because Haaland is a brilliant player, but you'd find a way. Because at that stage, they still had Alvarez. And you'd think, okay, who couldn't they do without? Well, we found out now. It's Rodri. And the reason it's Rodri is because it's two things. Not only is he brilliant at cutting off attacks and getting City moving, he's actually so important just keeping the ball in the first place. Because you can't concede goals if you've got the ball. And what City have found is not only did they lose that, but then they just couldn't control games anymore. The other thing with that is, if you then just have a slight drop in the intensity of your press, well, then the whole thing starts to fall apart. And that's not... These players haven't suddenly become bad. It's not like they're a bad team. They're not. And we've said it all the way through the commentary. Foden is still amazing. Savinho, I think, is quietly having actually quite a good season in the team that's struggling a bit. Marmoush is great. The issue is that the structure has suddenly just come apart a bit with some of the players they've got out. Also, they've been desperately unlucky with injury. Which, when you think, every time they get a player back, they lose two. So that's tough. That's really tough.
It's almost like Rodri is the plug in the sink, and the plug has come out, and things are just moving around more than they would want them to. Stability's been lost.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Manchester City beat them. Real Madrid through. They'll play either Atletico or Leverkusen. Narrative galore.
I love it.
In either of those potential round of 16 ties. Still to come, we'll look at tonight's other second legs as the lineup for the next stage of the competition was completed.
UEFA Champions League Matchday Live with you, wherever you go. With audio commentary, real-time stats and much, much more, get the complete experience and download the official Champions League app today.
Paris Saint-Germain went back to the French capital with a 3-0 lead over fellow Ligue 1 side Brest, and it turned into a goal fest at the Parc des Princes. Here's how the action unfolded.
19 minutes, 1-0 on the night. Bradley Barcola, brilliant take, brilliant finish. Low cross in, there's a little step over the near post. Marcel Elliott, well, from an impossible angle, PSG are 2-0 up. Vitinha, 3-0 PSG, 6-0 on aggregate. A Brest's bright spell of the game is simply snuffed out. Hakimi is in behind. Will cross to the far post and they get their fifth. It's a lovely finish. Nuno Mendes was right up with the play. Another opportunity here and it's just slipped in. Beautifully by Gonzalo Ramos and it's six. 6-0 on the night, 9-0 on aggregate. Being again here, Douay, it's in off the post. It's seven. Well, what a wonderful impact he's had on the game. It's Young Miliulu who scores.
10-0 on aggregate in the end and seven different goal scorers for the Liga leaders. Barcola, Vitinha, Doué, Nuno Mendes, Gonzalo Ramos and Miliulu and Kvisha Kvaratskhelia, their winter signing from Napoli. We can hear from him now.
Yeah, it was an important win. We feel good. We have to continue like this to score seven goals against Brest. It's not easy and we are happy today. We are showing everything that we can win. Everything is possible. So in the game we try, our goal is this, so every game we're coming to win and of course our goal and our dream is to win and we will try it. We will put everything in the work in the stadium and of course we can try it.
Kev, they didn't sign him in the winter window for Liga because it looks like they're going to win that.
Yeah.
Surely they made sure they did that business in the winter for this competition.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things there. I think firstly, they've wanted him for a long time, Kvaratskhelia. I think, you know, he's a player they wanted to bring to Paris. The opportunity was there to do it, but you're absolutely right. You know, Liga, they're well clear. So Kvaratskhelia wasn't going to affect that. But he's a big game player. And we've seen that with Napoli when he helped them win the Scudetto. We've seen it in this competition at times. And what's really interesting is that Luis Enrique, the natural, and I fell for this as well, the natural idea was, well, OK, they'll come in on the left and Barcola will have to go through the middle. But Luis Enrique's mixed it up a bit. He's had Kvaratskhelia through the middle. He's tried that out with Barcola in his preferred position on the left. But they have so many different players who can hurt you and some who don't even start. I mean, Doué, that kid's going to be a superstar. I mean, he's a joy to watch. I mean, you pay for the ticket twice to watch him. He's incredible. And Dembele's playing brilliant football. And they've also got what I think is a bit different, actually. When you think of Paris teams in this competition, you've always thought about Mbappe. You've always thought about, say, Zlatan before that. You've thought about who are the stars going forward. We talk about Messi or Neymar or whoever. We don't talk about the midfield as much, but they've got Vitinha.
Player of the match for both legs, by the way.
He's brilliant. Luis Enrique actually recently described him as the perfect midfielder. I'm not sure he's far off because, and he will get better. And there are midfielders who are higher level than him at the moment. But he's got everything you need. He's got calmness in possession. He's a proper little tiger. He wants to win everything. He's got that oomph about him. Hits a good dead ball. He's going to be great for them. Fabian Ruiz I've always really liked. And Zaire Emery's actually had a few injury problems and probably hasn't been as big an influence, but he'll get there. So that midfield's really, really important. And then, you know, that when you've got all that going on, they've got great quality at the back as well and a good goalkeeper. So they're not perfect, but they are getting there. And they've won now, 16 out of the last 17 in all competitions?
And they will give either Liverpool or Barcelona quite the game in the round of 16.
Yes.
OK, let's go to the final game from Wednesday. Last season's runners-up through to the round of 16 again. Borussia Dortmund, 3-0 up from the first leg against Sporting. Finished 0-0 in Germany. Here's their captain, Emre Can.
I think we controlled that game, we controlled the result. Of course, we want to win every game, and today it would be better to win the game, of course, but at the end, we are true, and that's what counts.
You're going to face Lille or Aston Villa now in the next round. How much are you looking forward to that one?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think both are not easy to play against, but I think also against us, it's not always too easy to play. And yeah, it will be tough games, but we're looking forward to it, and we want to give everything to win that games.
They nearly won the game. Sehu Guirassy had a penalty saved by Rui Silva, the goalkeeper, who was actually the official player of the match. And the voice you heard there asking the questions to Emre Can was our reporter, Matthew Howarth, who watched the match at the BFL Beige Stadion tonight. I caught up with him a little earlier, and he said Dortmund seized control of the second leg early on.
I think they did, yeah, all things considered. It was always going to be a big ask for Sporting to come back into the tie after Dortmund's comfortable first leg win. And given the season Dortmund are having domestically as well, I think a game without too much major incident was always going to be what Niko Kovac and his players wanted. And that's exactly what they got in the end. I think they would have obviously liked to get the winner that their dominance perhaps deserved in the second half. But they're perfectly happy with a draw and to have a pretty comfortable progression to the next round.
Yeah, they lost to the weekend in the Bundesliga to Bochum. How big is it for Niko Kovac as the recently appointed head coach to have come through this tie?
It's very big, exactly. I mean, they've yet to return to winning ways in the Bundesliga under Kovac since his appointment, and it's been a very, very difficult season for them domestically. The Champions League so far this season at least has proved a bit of a welcome distraction in that regard. So to make it through, albeit without having scored themselves tonight, but to make it through was the main thing, as Emre Can said in that interview. So that was the key thing for Dortmund tonight, and they can now look forward to a very, very interesting last 16 tie.
Yeah, tell us about that, because obviously it was a bit of a shock to see them go all the way to the final last season. What are their hopes of progressing, do you think?
Well, I spoke to Karim Adeyemi earlier in the season, and he said they want to get to the final again. I think they treat the Champions League as a very important competition, and they certainly see themselves as one of the big teams in it. And they, despite their troubles domestically, they've got full confidence that they can repeat their achievements from last season and get to another final. And I think against Lille and Aston Villa, as Emre Can said, it's going to be a very difficult game for them, but very much a winnable one from Dortmund's perspective, and then if they get past that, then they're not that far away from reaching the business end of the competition. So I think they, even though they haven't been perhaps playing at their best so far this season, I think Dortmund could still spring a few surprises in this season's competition as well.
Our reporter in Dortmund, Matthew Howarth, and Dortmund will play either Lille or Aston Villa in the round of 16. The draw, which will also include the quarterfinals, semi-finals, it'll all be mapped out Friday, the 21st of February, at the House of European Football in Neon at midday Central European time. And of course, you can follow the whole thing on UEFA.com. Kev, do you want to give us? You've got your handy little crib sheet here.
I do.
You've got your notes. So let's have a little look at this draw and what could happen.
So Benfica will play either Liverpool or Barcelona. Paris will play either Liverpool or Barcelona. Club Brugge are going to take on either Villa or Lille. Dortmund will play either Villa or Lille. I love this section. Bayern will play either Atletico or Bayer Leverkusen. So you could get Bayern against Leverkusen. And then if that happens, Real Madrid will play either Atletico or Leverkusen.
That'd be good, wouldn't it?
So we could have Real Atletico, you could have Bayern against Leverkusen. And PSV will play either Inter or Arsenal. Feyenoord will play either Inter or Arsenal. So both Inter and Arsenal know they're going to play Dutch opposition in the last 16.
Great week for Dutch teams in the Champions League. Mike Stewart, Kev Hatchard with me. Gents, final thing. Highlight of this new round. It's the first time we've ever had this additional knockout playoff round. Even before we got to the round of 16, we've had loads of great drama. What's been the kind of standout moment for you?
I think Club Brugge knocking out Atalanta in the way that they did. I thought they were absolutely stellar on Tuesday night. The way they approached it tactically, the way they played with bravery, brilliant.
What do you reckon, Mike?
I wouldn't say this is a highlight if you're a Celtic fan, but what it did do, it summed up the fine margins between success and failure. That goal that Bayern scored to go through at the death, and Celtic so unfortunate, it just showed the difference between success and failure, despair and relief, joy and pain.
I think that's been one of the great successes of this new format, actually, that you've seen a team like Celtic. It's an enormous football club, of course it is, but in the last few years they've struggled a bit at this level or the Europa League. And actually, because they've had a few more games to get into it, they've had some home games to really get some points on the board, they've really grown into the competition. And I think we've seen Celtic do well, mention Feyenoord, mention PSV, Club Brugge. It's great to see teams that would get so far and maybe not further now really have a great run.
Gents, thank you very much for your company. That's it. We now know the 16 teams which will compete in this year's UEFA Champions League round of 16. Matchday Live will be back on air from 8:45 Central European time on Tuesday the 4th of March with updates from across Europe, the goals as they go in from European football's premier club competition. My thanks to Kevin Hatchard and Mike Shull for their company this evening. But from now, me, Rob Daly, and the rest of the Matchday Live team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to the official UEFA Champions League podcast.